for life. Yeah. Hold on. That was the start of the service in the cathedral this morning. About 9 o'clock, we'll start it over and play the whole service. But I want to be live first. I didn't see a phone ring when I sat down here, so you either wanted to hear that song awfully bad, or you sat back when the curtain went up and said, I'm just going to listen to the service. Now, this is the last Sunday before Christmas. Now, why in the hell don't we all go home and let them stuff it out there and find a... When I came here 29 years ago, they had Jim Baker on the network. Let's find an old tape of Jimmy 29 years ago and put him up. Just let them watch that. Find a good grimace or something and just freeze it with a pause. And let's all go see a movie or something. I mean, you know, you make me mad when you don't call. It's worth paying the thousands of dollars we pay for this time to make you mad. Just get even. I can be a nice guy, but it's seldom. Now, you better get on the damn telephone, or you can have Jimmy stuffed down your TV throat. Now, get on the telephone, and then we'll have some live time here before I replay this morning's service, in spite of the fact that I said I wouldn't do it anymore, and I've been doing it ever since. That's the god-awfulest song I ever heard. I mean, if we had those two-way picture telephones, you'd probably be flashing a picture to me of Jim Baker. That's the god-awfulest music I ever heard. If we had an audience, we lost it. So I got to start all over with a new audience now. Well, I must have shook the music programmer up. I mean, I guess that was a testimony. Shake, rattle, and roll. I mean, the first song was designed to produce nervous breakdowns. I mean, there may be somebody in this generation that likes this rap dancing technique that looks like a puppet you're holding with the waist and shaking, bouncing up and down once in a while. I'm old enough to remember when people could dance, not just jerk and wiggle. And you know, I've always figured out when people are displaying their bedroom moves in public, it's because they're undernourished and don't really get much. I mean, don't give it all away before you get there. Now, you won't get this from every preacher. I watch Saturday Night Live once in a while so I can see how the rest of the world lives. You know, the old guard, they were pretty good. They used to talk to them a lot. They used to record my festivals every time. I mean, way back in the John Belushi days and the ones that went on to stardom. And there's still some pretty good programs on Saturday Night Live. But I would like to know where they go to get the musicians they feature. Have you watched Saturday Night Live, or are you too Christian to do that? Huh? Anybody here watch Saturday Night Live? Either too Christian, or you can't stay up that late. I mean, they must have musicians that pay them to perform. That's the only explanation I got. I mean, not only are they terrible musicians, from my view. I mean, I had 13 years classical training on a saxophone. I may be out of shape on it. I mean, guitar, but I know what good music is supposed to be. You know, you go to a symphony or an opera, you got to have a brain. You're supposed to be able to recognize the accomplished performance. But if you just want just raw, good old stomp-down music from Elvis Presley to Tina Turner, I mean, at least Tina Turner had a voice. And you stand to look at her. You'd rather look at her at her age than some of these earrings everywhere. Some of the ugliest belly buttons I've ever seen. Some of the jerkiest moves I've ever seen. If they think that looks sexy, my God, I'd check myself into prison for it, let one of those in my bedroom. Now, you think I've given enough cues? They better give me some good music upstairs. Get on telephone. Roll that back and start it over again. I mean, considering what we've had, everybody needs to be ready for Tina Turner. I mean, you know, I normally just let her sing, you know. But after what we've had, in comparison to the musicians I've just complimented, you need to be ready. I don't even care if you don't call while Tina Turner sings. Then we'll play it again, and you better call. Let her go. Now, next Sunday, this is for those who know. If you don't know, don't worry about it. My regulars know. Secret 16 comes to a close next Sunday. And this door of faith is forever behind. And then you will learn what you participated in. They never raise money for projects. Don't believe in it. Don't want anybody sending money unless I've taught you. And I want it to be a response to the teaching. Either because you've learned what it means to belong to the Lord and to be a proper steward His way, or from Galatians 6, let him that is taught in the word, koinonia is the word in the Greek, mutually share. Share with the one who taught you. In all good things, that's not prayers and spirituality, proclamations, it's things. Let him that's taught in the word, the teacher who gives the word, doesn't matter if he's rich as Bill Gates or a pauper. Let him that's taught in the word share, not with someone because they need it, with him who taught you in all good things. And this badly misconstrued verse, be not deceived, God is not mocked, or literally will not be scorned, treated scornfully. Whatsoever you sow, you will reap. Then it defines the sowing and reaping. And the context is what he just said. Let him that's taught in the word, an exchange is kicking in. Share good things with the one who taught you. That's a testament of worthship. That's the only place where you're taught and you pay the tuition based upon what you think it's worth after you receive it. Or you just become a cheapie and take it for free. I get amused at the hypocrisy of the news media, sitting there in their self-righteous talking head role, and all the judgmental talk shows now. The only thing that would make me want the reality shows to take over is to get rid of these hypocrites that are judge and jury of everything this country does. You know, I'm still angry at Nightline trying to lift itself above the United States in a time of war and interviewing one of the guys on the card that's captured now. their foreign minister, or Assis, or whatever his name is. There's Supreme Court cases about the press not being allowed to publish sailing schedules during the Second World War, which all the German U-boat commanders had to do is have somebody read it to them, and they knew where to go to sink the ships. Now, there are some limits in time of war. And all we citizens are starting to lose our rights in the current attack on terrorism. I wish they'd wake up to the fact that the news media, I'm not happy that we went to Iraq. Never said too much about it. Don't like Saddam. I don't think he was the great threat to the world. He had already been caged. Let him get a nuclear weapon, Israel would have put another one down his pipe. But since we've gone in there, have you noticed? I've been watching the news the first time that I've seen people marching in the street crying for Saddam's execution was today. I'm sure others of you have seen maybe somewhere. But every time I turn the news on, they're finding this isolated little hometown area of Saddam where he's been crawling around like a gopher. And they show people protesting Saddam's capture. They had to really hunt to find that, I'm sure, in Iraq. I understand these people that aren't too happy that the U.S. troops are there. I think they're kind of idiotic because a moron can tell the difference between Saddam and our attempt to bring something so we can get out of there. But I don't like the fact that the news media, I agree with Bush, all they do is show the bad news. Anything they can to break the will and see if they can exercise their muscles again and create another Vietnam, which we've never recovered from and will not recover from until we prove when we start something, we'll finish it. Even if we started it wrong, finish it. But the news media, and their idiot cards, and their little cute exchanges with each other, and their quasi-comedy routines. Just give me the news. Shut up on all this other stuff. I don't know why you watch the news anyway. Why aren't you watching me? But I remember, by the way, when... Who's the guy did Good Morning Vietnam? Who? Now they were doing some award show on TV a few years ago. We got a tape back here of it. And Scott Gallagher and Robin Williams were presenting the awards for TV features. And Robin Williams was playing me. And so Scott Gallagher would say to him, "Well, now, the winner is who? Gene?" And Gene, otherwise Robin, he came close. He didn't really... He needs to do me a little more. It's like the successors on Saturday Night Live trying to do Bush after the guy who had him captured left. Who is it? My wife knows that did Bush so well. They did the best of him last night. Will Ferrell, he could do Bush. And I don't know why they don't up the ante since Will Ferrell left and get the guy from Jay Leno that does Bush. He's got him down too. Now nobody's going to be able to. Everybody on Saturday Night Live must pray for Clinton to run again, or his wife, so that this guy, whatever his name is, that does Clinton, and he was good. But, you know, these crazy news media people that take themselves so serious and have appointed themselves the current ministers of truth and ethics and morality. I mean, I was nailing the television evangelists and firing them off of this network when I came here, long before the news media got on the hypocrite's case. But I thought, you know, how hypocritical when one of them that I happened to know about was the greatest womanizer in New York. Is there condemning every night the TV womanizers? They hardly qualified for that name. Jim Baker had one 14-minute affair where he learned how to do it. I really believe the Apostle Paul were married to Tammy Faye, he'd find something else to entertain himself. I just hate hypocrites. And these news media people act like they're perfect. They never do anything wrong. And aren't you getting sick of them doing specials on themselves when they die? I mean, you know, you really want a newscaster. Well, all he's been is a pimple on the face of TV reading an idiot card, but they act like that the president of the world just died. You really need me on TV to stand up against these idiots that think they rule the world. But anyway, we don't raise money for projects, as I was saying. If I teach you, let him that's taught share things, good things, with the one that teaches him. Be not deceived, God not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, actually also reap. That doesn't mean because when you're a teenager, you masturbate, you'll get pimples. That's what they told me when I was a teenager. And you know, that so scared me, I never did. The context, text without context, is error. The context is giving. There is an exchange going on. Let him that teaches you, you that are taught, share with the one who taught you in all good things. No matter whether the teacher's rich or poor, as I said. Don't worry about me getting rich. I was rich when I came to town. I came to a poor church. It was about on the edge of bankruptcy to restore it from that. You are expressing to God what the teaching's worth. That's why anybody that doesn't have a belief in God or didn't receive the teaching, let him that's taught. You haven't been taught. You don't know anything. But you have a chance to show what teaching is worth. Let him that's taught in the word share materially good things with the one who taught you. Be not deceived. The issue is between you and God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, which you have a right to do, it's your money, heap it on yourself. Sow to the flesh, it's your money. Spend anything you want on yourself. It'll go down with the flesh. Shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, context being showing proper value, worthship of a teacher gifted enough by God to be able to unfold God's Word, that showing of worthship for what you've been taught, God says the way you do it, share good things with the one who taught you. That's sowing to the Spirit. And there's something not in the King James, an added word, shall of the Spirit of life. Interesting, related to the message today. Reap life everlasting. You are sowing to the Spirit, and I'm really sorry with these people that talk about seed faith and a harvest down here. The harvest is where it counts eternally. As Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. That act of showing to God the worth of His Word releases the Spirit of life to reap a harvest of life eternal. I don't know if I've given, unless I've taught you. If the taught you, be not weary in well-doing, and the well-doing is still the same, that exchange. For you'll reap in due season if you faint not, because the spirit of life is compounding your reward over there. That's why your giving is for the teaching. But I tell you, I got a secret. We're going to do something to further this ministry, and you can participate in it. You got to give for the teaching. But I let some of your giving be, I want to participate in Secret 16, whatever it is. You'll find out. You don't ever find out except a couple of times when I made the mistake until it's done. Next Sunday, this year's Secret 16 is over. And you that have made your commitments between you and God, don't be weary in well-doing. You'll reap in due season if you faint not. It's a reminder to the ones who've committed. Next Sunday, Christmas Sunday, we're having a Shalom service. I notice a lot of you are making reservation for both services. Do me a favor. We just take these calls and they go in one place for the person who mails the passes for the Sunday service. They go in another place for those who mail the passes for the Shalom service. So make it easy. If you're going to come to both services and you want to pass, then it's got to be worth you making two calls. You make a call for the Sunday service and you make a separate call for the Shalom service. And those of you that called and made a reservation for both in one call, hey, it's a privilege to get there. So don't take a shortcut on me. Make it easy for our limited staff. You that said, I want to pass for both services, you're only going to get one. And that's for the Sunday morning service at the cathedral. You make another call for the Shalom service. Is that clear? I mean, I can just tell you that's the way it's going to be, but I told you why. We have to get these passes out by Wednesday noon. And we need to be able to take just one stack, those that are reserved for the Sunday cathedral service, and another stack for those that are reserving for the Shalom service. You understand?
Yes, sir.
And so that means some of you better get real busy making your second reservation Shalom service only. Because everything up until this point, 20 minutes to 8 on Sunday night, December 21st, we're going to the stack for cathedral service only. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Well, I only made a reservation for the Shalom service. I didn't intend to come to the cathedral next Sunday. Well, tough tiddly-doo. Oh. I mean, you know, you mean we can't just walk in? I mean, churches are supposed to have open doors and supposed to motivate me to come. Well, there's enough of those in town. Go there. Here, you got to convince me. You know why you're coming. And you're coming because you want to be taught. Or you're coming to the Shalom service. Well, I don't know what it is. Well, then probably you shouldn't come. Well, I never heard of such a thing. You did too. I just told you. It's a privilege to go to the cathedral. It's a privilege to come to the Shalom service. If I were teaching at Stanford, which I was perfectly entitled to do, and I didn't come out of their bottom of my class, you'd pay your tuition in advance and convince me you're qualified to sit in the class. Well, I'm teaching things a lot more important than I would have taught there. So I'm on this one-man crusade to bring dignity back into giving, dignity into respect for teachers, instead of this brainless generation with nothing but dope heads and rock stars and rap stars and musicians, most of them who can't sing, and athletes with egos bigger than their body, and that's big enough. We paid teachers what we pay those self-centered people. We'd change this nation overnight. I'm on a one-man crusade, and I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right. So if you don't want to go to a church that thinks you ought to convince us that you are privileged to come, well, then go to all the rest of these junk holes. You say, well, how dare you say about the other churches? Well, if they don't have the same attitude about what they're giving out as I do, That's what they are. I mean, go to the junk food, religious junk food places. Is that clear enough, or do I need to spell it out a little better? Now that I've made so many friends, the ones that count, get on the telephone. Two contrasting messages. Rashida, I'm an 11-year-old girl. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for bringing me to the Zimmer Museum. We saw puppets. See, the kids from 2 to 12, we have nursery care for those under 2, but the kids from 2 to 12, the pastor takes them in air-conditioned buses with adult supervision to one of some 40 museums in close proximity to the cathedral downtown. That way the parents can sit in the service for college and university level, seminary level, teaching on God's Word. And the kids come back at 1 o'clock. And they also learn that it's a privilege to come into the cathedral. And their pastor takes them to these museums to let them know that God's not afraid of their brain being opened up. I'll take care of their faith. So when you come, you have to know that. If you got a 3 or 4-year-old that's never been away from you, then one of the parents go with them on the tour until they get adjusted. But there are no kids in the service between 2 and 12, and no babies. They're in the nursery. There's no other way than the mother staying in the nursery with them. It's an adult, college level, teaching on God's Word. I don't try to convert anybody. I just turn the lights on. You do what you want with it. But here's an 11-year-old thanking the pastor. And then here from Santa Monica, I just got my master's at UCLA. I've been watching for a month. I want you to know that we need more teachers like you. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I need more students in the service like you. You're on the telephone. You know, I also am also listening to the interviewer at the Laker games and the sportscasters complaining that the interviewer in the game the other night for the Lakers interviewed that girl, I don't even know her name, that's how fancy, you know, how famous she is. Ronnie Payne's the daughter of some singer. The blonde that's with this other current publicity target, Looks like if you had a run-in with her, you'd be picking chicken bones for 6 months. What's her name? Hilton. Paris Hilton. And their pig pen experience. Name change, same place. That'll hit you about tomorrow. You know, I don't have a script, so it comes out, credit God or something. They interview her, and he asked her some dumb question about Kobe Bryant, and she, on national or on TV, wherever it goes, I guess it's national, Fox Sports West, certainly the West, says she wants to have sex with Kobe Bryant. Now, you know what Gene Scott would have said if he was interviewing her? Well, he may like dogs, but if it were my choice, you couldn't have sex with me if I were using a 40-foot pole on you. I mean, you know, she doesn't look like very much. I mean, I guess this poor preacher has seen enough good stuff in his life that, you know, dogs don't attract me that much anymore. You know, looking at if something looks like a horse going backwards with his tail up, you're not very enthused by it. I mean, when somebody has that low a taste for a married man to come off the wall with that kind of crap, when are we going to have an interviewer that can wipe his stupid grin off of his face and say, look, you hussy, I've given you a chance for fame, so go down on Sunset Strip if that's your message. If you get down and the gutter with your talk. You need to sort of kick some of the slime around. You know, give them a big drink. It's what we're having with these media personalities with a silly grin. When are we going to get just some plain, gut, honest television interviewers? Not judgmental, just plain, gut, honest. At least I'll give King that. No matter who he's interviewing, he usually gives them a fair shake. Instead of coming in as either a grinning imbecile, kissing asteroid, and letting them get away with anything. And then they're still talking about it being in bad taste. Bad taste was the gutless interviewer that didn't tell her that to her face. Just thought I'd say that. I don't think I'm right again. No, I'm right. Television is ruining this country because of the level of commonality that it embraces. Maybe some of these interviewers and newscasters spend so much time in the white lights they've lost the ability to see. That's why I wear colored glasses. They ought to try it. You don't get burned out. I've got 29 years in front of the camera live. At least, you know, when you tune in here, what you see is what you're going to get. Just because you're on live TV, you're not put up with somebody doing that. And then you're going to smile at them and look embarrassed instead of cutting them down to size. You turn a camera on them. I mean, most people are watching a basketball game to see the game, not to have some asteroid-licking TV reporter running around trying to find a face they've seen on TV. They're even carrying it in the Times now, faces seen in the crowd. Well, doo-dee-doo-doo. At least old Jack, and by the way, they'd already shown a picture of her on a cell phone. What's she sitting there on the row and putting a camera on her talking on a cell phone when she's supposed to be there to watch the basketball game? Anybody but an idiot director would have figured out, keep your field person from interviewing this person. Why are you so quiet? I mean, you like that kind of stuff? This goes into the living rooms. The least you can expect from television is the truth. Particularly when they sit there like the high and mighty judges of the universe and acting like nobody else tells the truth to them. Somebody's got to protest it. About time to have that movie back again. I've had it. I ain't going to take it anymore. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
I mean, get up and figure out how to spit at your TV or something. Open the window like that guy and scream, turn your TV off, except for Scott. Get on the telephone. You never know when I'm serious or not. Look at my eyes. Get on the telephone. Going into the second hour, about 9 o'clock this Sunday night, December 21st, we will let the curtain go up again and bring you the service from the cathedral this morning. As we go through the hour break, again, I'm talking to my people, the King's Houses. We are unleashing a pattern of volunteers transcribing the messages. We have 50, 60,000 hours of teaching for 29 years. I'm at message 227 in the Roman series. And it's time to start reducing some of this 29 years of teaching down to printed matter and books. And I have many volunteers that can handle a computer and transcribe. And we have launched a subsidiary ministry for you to participate in as volunteers. We've established a computer zone as part of this studio for no purpose but to let people come. They have to be regulars and people that we know who want to be a part of transcribing the messages so that we can begin to put the teaching of these 29 years in print. Not on the Christian circuit. Most of what I've done is not primarily aiming for the Christian bookstore or in-house sales. So I want to show you a tape of the new computers and the section where people will check in. It can be a 24-hour transcribing area for people that can come in here and volunteers that are willing to participate, but we can check you out. We only want our people that are genuinely interested in being a part of reducing the teaching to print. You can apply for the opportunity to participate. We'll set up schedules. I'm going to stop what is happening of many people transcribing the same message at random and come up with a system where you know which messages haven't been transcribed and which are available for new transcription. We're going to run that tape as we go through the station break time, and you can see this facility, and you that are have been doing it already in your home and are able and capable to use computers and do the transcription. They're very simple. The program is designed strictly for this one purpose. The whole bank of computers will show you in this tape. The music will play, but you'll see what has been set up across the hall as part of the complex here, where you can come at any hour, be safe in here, give some time if you want as voice of faith, and some time for transcribing, and start making your volunteer applications and wishes made on the phone, and let this tape go as you'll see the new facilities we've set up over there. Now, that didn't mean that you're not supposed to call unless you're going to volunteer to work the word processors and the computers over there. I want your reservations for next Sunday, the last Sunday of the year, the closing Sunday for you regulars of Secret 16, and your reservations for the Shalom service at 7 p.m. at King's House 1. Now, come on, you regulars, 1 hour from now, we'll be taking you into the services that occurred this morning at the cathedral. Right now, I want you working and making your reservations. Get on the telephone. Now, 50 minutes from now, we'll take you into the cathedral for this morning service. I'm amazed at the number of messages I'm getting from people helped by the message. Understood subject and its relevance. And as you have watched, as we've come to certain conceptual crossroads in which we have to pierce through the tradition and transcription confusion for a concept like salvation and righteousness and faith, I must, and believe you me, there are some, I'm not an unconscious teacher. I won't leave this subject until I sense that feedback of intuitive understanding. You cannot possibly understand the 8th chapter, which is the highlight of Romans, where very simply, when Christ is in you, you are in him. You can't possibly understand and benefit from that which is the crescendo of the book without understanding the place of the blood. Now, for example, in this morning's message, as you will see, I didn't take the time to do it. It'll still be on the board next Sunday. I'll probably do it as I move on. The same word used in the Hebrew, nephesh, 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 becomes in the Spanish, vida, almas, persona, life, soul, person. Same word in the Hebrew. Likewise, the English must expand its synonyms, they think. And to you that were in the service today, I'll say more about it next Sunday, it's sort of interesting. The Hellenistic philosophers took this ancient word psuche, which translates nephesh, and developed a whole philosophic concept of the soul. As I said, and you'll hear in the message, Plato had three different layers of the soul, and Aristotle had eight. But the word originally meant, just as nephesh means to breathe, nephesh meant to blow on to cool, like you blow on a hot cup of coffee or soup. But as it matriculated through Greek philosophy, it suddenly arrives into the New Testament world and into modern theology. Paul didn't use it that way, but into modern theology, with a word borrowed from some German root that means to move quickly, like quicksilver, our word for soul. You've got to gain a foundational understanding of the place of the blood and an understanding of the relationship between the blood and the Spirit of God, and how faith in the blood, once you understand what it is you're having faith in, makes Christ and his finished work become the hilasterion or kapareth, mercy seat for you. So I know that we're plowing into another rearranging of the casual thought patterns that you hear the word and it is dismissed while you wool gather because you already know what the word means. How many of you were foolish enough to think you knew what the word salvation meant? How many of you were foolish enough to think you knew what the word righteousness meant? So, you need to be in the cathedral next Sunday because I'm not done with this subject yet. And I will show you, either next Sunday or the following Sunday, how that two long sentences on the subject are added to your King James translations and your Spanish and other modern translations that never appeared in the history of the manuscripts until six Greek manuscripts, at least 3 centuries after the Nicene Creed, begin to crop up. I will show you and help you to scratch out of the King James, and if you bring the Tischendorf New Testament that I've reprinted, long out of print, that footnotes every verse with where the King James deviates from the 3 oldest complete Bibles in the world, the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus 4th century and the Alexandrinus 5th century, you'll see that copyists decided to change what the epistle writer wrote to make it conform to what the Trinitarian doctrines had declared through the church councils up to that point. Well, the Trinitarian doctrine may be correct. Don't change the text. To make it artificially say what wasn't said. Now, this is a school of the Bible. There are members of this church that have put in more time than if they had gone to seminary. You know, the university is sort of like Frank Lloyd Wright school that he built. People said, is it accredited? No, nobody could accredit it. There wasn't anything like it. You just come and you are taught. And some of you have been here for 30 years and don't realize how much you've learned, but you're still learning, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Make your reservation for next Sunday, another 43 minutes, and we will be in the cathedral as the service came down this morning. But I'm taking your reservations. I want to end this year in victory with the cathedral full of people throughout the year saying thank you to God for the teaching we received and for that which God has done to bring us through. We said early in the year we made it through 2003. Come to thank the Lord this Sunday. Come on, get on the telephone. That's me. I don't know what that was before me, but that was not the introduction to me. Now, if you're going to play that old thing, you know, I used to be pretty good on the saxophone. I hadn't played it for 15 years when I came here. Finally got talked into dragging it out. And this was during the period when we were down at Hope Street. And then had the service in Beverly Hills Theater. And I played that wonderful song by Ira Stanfill. Now, if you're going to play it, I don't need that half-song introduction. What was that that came in before? But that isn't an introduction to my song. Did you hear that? Like something started doing something. And then all of a sudden, there I am sitting playing the saxophone. I wasn't playing with that person. I've been disassociating with a lot of things tonight. Now, start me without that other thing going in front of me. Cyprus. Making reservations for the cathedral and said, did you know that Broadway, we're on South Broadway between 9th and Olympic in the heart of downtown. Did you know that Broadway was named Eternity Street prior to 1929? That's prior to the year I was born. Because it dead-ended at a cemetery? No, I didn't know that. And Newport Beach, this is the first time I've ever seen this show. He's Frank. I like that. Well, Frank is a perfume. That's all right. You know, worse things to be said about you than that you smell good. Proctorville, Ohio. Is there any church which Doc recommends in this area? No. You know, when some pastor calls me and lets me know that he shares my passion for the Word, maybe I could, but not now. I mean, I used to preach in Cincinnati at one of the big churches there about every year, but I don't know now. I hope to come to California in January. Well, get a KU band. Listen to me 24 hours a day. 24/7. KU band. Big dish. GE3 transponder 20. Internet 24 hours a day. Radio. I hope to come to California in January with my uncle so I can be in the cathedral. I'll call back when I know the exact date. When Doc had cancer, I attended a healing service at King's House 1. I was 19 years old and had been in a condition for 3 years where I had to be careful what I ate, a thyroid condition. Right after this communion healing service at King's House 1, we went out to eat and I ordered food, which I previously could not eat because I knew I'd been healed. My uncle said I couldn't order that to eat, but I said, don't worry, I'm okay. And I was okay. I'd been healed. As time went by, I began to worry about my healing. And, you know, I've told you it's harder to keep one than to get it. I started to get the condition coming back. This was at the same time when Doc's cancer was starting to look like it might come back. I remember telling one of our longtime city councilmen, retiring Nate Holden, earlier this week at a meeting. He couldn't believe I hadn't had surgery and radiation. I said, no. I'm heading toward my fourth year now, this October. 3 years ago, this past October, double 10 Gleason, immediate surgery and radiation, the doctor said, for 10 to 12 months to live in a very painful death. Had no surgery and no radiation. Ain't taking nothing. Except the intake of God's Word from which faith comes. And this boy said, I started to get the condition coming back. This was at the same time when Doc's cancer was starting to look like it might come back. I watched another of Doc's healing services on my parents' dish, and we took the communion elements that night with Doc, and I've been healed ever since. Now I eat whatever I want, and with no medicine, I'm totally fine. It's like I was never sick. Shalom service. Now, after that sober sax song of Iris Tanfill, and after me beating on the news media, there are some exceptions, just like there are exceptions to the hypocrite preachers that are turning people off on God. You know, if you've got eyes to see, you can lay one straight stick down alongside a dozen crooked ones, and A one-eyed man can tell the difference. One newscaster in this city, true old-time newscaster, George Putnam, used to be on TV his senior years, now in his 80s, on radio. And when I, as a member of the Blue Ribbon Committee chaired by Lod Cook, offered this network to raise the final $2 million in the telephone for the Save the Books Committee after the terrible fire at the downtown library, one of the many guests, I mean the guests were from the former governor and everybody of import in Los Angeles, but George Putnam, I think the two people that got the most calls was Willie Shoemaker, and I used to ride with him up at the ranch, taught his wife, then wife Cindy, to ride the saddlebred, and you watched her win many championships for us on Yorktown Pudding. Willie was a good friend, but he got more calls on that telethon than George Putnam with the hits. Some of the greatest personalities in the country. And George sang a song. Now there'll be a black line across the screen because there was a different telephone number. I wouldn't let them use our telephone number. We gave them our facilities, and the telephone number was for that telethon years ago. And we reached the goal and brought the need before the city. But this song by George Putnam is one of the favorite things for my audience that I play. Watch old George. Wonderful, wonderful, honest newscaster. He used to call me on the phone and tell me some of the things that were going on among the personalities in the news media, that when they were caught doing something like some financial scam or some other thing, they would like a flock gather around and suppress it. You let anybody else even look like they're doing something, they're going to herald it to the skies, but they protect their own. George, he was always my inside gossip that would tell me what's really going on in the news media. He was sick of the hypocrisy. This grand old gentleman, one of the friends that I cherish and treasure, watch him sing this song. He's what you get from George, too. Now, come on, I need about another 100 reservations for the cathedral next Sunday. And I can't see which one is over here, how many for the Shalom service. Use these next few minutes to make your calls. Come on, get on telephone.